The title tonight probably provoked a great deal of curiosity, but it shouldn't have. Death, fried and boiled, stewed and broiled, and raw to gnaw. I thought I'd better throw that in. I want to read you a text that to me is utterly precious. It's 3 John and verse 2. Write it down. You who check in your Bibles, write this down. There the Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now that's unequivocally God's will. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. As it is important to God that we grow spiritually and become strong spiritually, the Bible suggests that God wants His people to be in health, physically well, and to prosper. In case you don't know it, Christianity improves the total quality of life. Christians look younger than other folks, their age. Christians have less heart disease, unless it was already developed. Generally speaking, Christians live longer and are happier. When God offers you the privilege of becoming His child, He's bringing you into a very secure environment. Now, Christians suffer too. But I'm talking about generally, the statistics prove that Christians, particularly those who have been Christians nearly all of their lives, they get along a lot better and live longer than those who aren't. I told you about my invitation to speak at the 65th anniversary of this big high school I attended. And I hadn't been back in 41 years. And when I went in there, it was a magnificent thing. The head table was longer than this building is wide. And I was right in the middle. You know how they fix it. And I'm sitting there looking out at dinner, and I see all these people smiling and waving. And I'm wondering, who are these folks? And then it began to dawn on me, these are classmates, which meant they were about my age. If you think I look old, you should have seen them. And I smiled and nodded, but I thanked the Lord. I'm serious. I thanked the Lord that He showed me a better way and headed me off in time. Now, write these down. If you don't write down any more, write these down. I'm going to 1 Corinthians. What did I say? Chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or let me read another one first. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18. Listen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Please listen to that. You are God's temple when you allow Him to come into your life. He lives within you. The Spirit does. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's so clear, isn't it? Then the Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now let that one sink in. God said, you who are Christians are the temple of God. He dwells inside of you by His Spirit. And God says, if you defile that temple, He will destroy you. He'll destroy me. For we are the temple of God, and we are holy. And he goes on to say, which temple ye are. Now, let's be more specific in the second reference. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Paul starts the word with a question. What? This is the way a teacher begins. What? Know ye not that your body, your what? Now, you can't miss that. There are folk who say you worship the Lord with your spirit, but your body doesn't matter. In fact, there was a time when they taught that the body was evil. That's not biblically based. Here God says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now that's clear language, isn't it? And Paul was the master teacher. What? Don't you know? He seemed to be saying you should know this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't even belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. What price? The precious blood of Jesus. He redeemed us with that. He has a right to come and live inside of us when we submit ourselves to him. I'll tell you what, the devil will live inside of you. And I am convinced when men can blow up little babies and destroy lives by the hundreds, the devil is living inside of them. They are possessed. And some of them don't have any conscience about it. We're sitting there crying, and they don't see anything wrong. Possessed. Well, the Holy Ghost wants to possess somebody. If the devil is possessing the masses, at least the Lord ought to be able to possess his. And he says, your body is the place where I come. Not some little room you got in the house. But your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you destroy it, I will destroy you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is said of the Jews in Psalm 105 and verse 37. That amongst them, those who obeyed God, there wasn't a feeble person. Not one. They sojourned in a wilderness. They were not sick until they disobeyed. There was not a feeble person amongst them. Satan has been systematically doing something in our country. And I love my country. But Satan has been paganizing America. We are getting to the place we are paganistic in this civilized nation. We have the idea that in order to find pagans, you got to go to the jungle. Well, I want to tell you, some of those folk in the jungle make some of those over here look sick. America is being paganized. And Satan is attacking morals and values and dragging our society down beneath the animal kingdom. We do things that self-respecting dogs will not do. You can't get a dog to smoke grass. You can't get a cat to drink liquor. Violence, drugs, dishonesty, crime. And for many, it is attractive simply because it is forbidden. For the life of me, if I were not a Christian, if I were just a young person today, for the life of me, I can't understand why anybody would want to experiment with drugs when you look around and see what drugs do in dehumanizing and degrading human life. It turns ladies into sluts and gentlemen into bums. Now, I've got to get to the point. There are things that people do so commonly that it seems normal, and yet these things are expressly forbidden. They defile God's temple. First thing I want to tell you about is cigarettes. What did I say? They are poison. And I'm going to tell you, Yesterday, I clipped this out of USA Today. I didn't even have scissors, so I just tore it out. It said, young smokers, youths who smoke, are much more likely than their non-smoking peers to engage in other risky behaviors, from drinking to sex. A government study shows the survey of 10,645 youths ages 12 to 21 from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. It shows that smokers are 17 times more likely to use marijuana, 5 times more likely to binge on alcohol, more than twice as likely to carry a gun, a knife, or a club, and nearly twice as likely to have illicit sex. About 29% of males and 26% of the females in the survey were smokers. And yet we try to justify some of these things. You know, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is not go to excess. Now, this isn't a church study. This is a scientific study done by the Center for Disease Control. And they interview these people, 10,645, and they came to a conclusion from the answers they were given that if you smoke, you most probably will be led into more degrading vices because you smoke. Now, I didn't make that up, and my church didn't make it up. Cigarettes are being used as early as the third grade, and some are hooked by the time they reach the sixth grade. One writer said 2 million now in grade school will die of cancer of the lungs because of smoking. What makes them do it? Number one, peer pressure. Number two, their parents setting the wrong example. Number three, television. And number four, music. You see, Satan's got a program. And his system has a group of coordinates. And when they work together, they encourage people to participate in one or more of these vices. And even the music today is conducive to immorality and to other vices forbidden to Christians. Nicotine is just one of 31 poisons found in cigarettes. And today people are dying from emphysema, cancer, tuberculosis, heart disease, and stroke because of habitual smoking. Now, understand me, when you become addicted, I have some idea what that means. And we serve a tender-hearted Savior. He understands and is willing to help. Would you say amen out there? I also have read that babies are born into this world darkened of intellect and misshapen in body because the mothers smoke. And I have seen mothers in the marketplace holding infants and puffing and blowing it in their faces. And I say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. One reference says that smoking reduces the lifespan by an average of 9 years. And it is believed every cigarette can take 9 minutes off your life. And people say, I don't want to give it up. As though they're doing God a favor. God doesn't need any favors. He's simply trying to make life better for us. And he said, I want you to prosper and be in health. There are 8 cancer-producing drugs in cigarettes. They are nicotine, pyridine, menthol, alcohol, ammonia, carbon monoxide, furfural, formaldehyde, benzotrine, and arsenic. Yes, arsenic. And on every pack of cigarettes, and on every advertisement of cigarettes, on the billboards around your city, when they advertise cigarettes, they are now required by law to put a warning on there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show it to you. Let me tell you, if you had a nice dog, any kind of dog that you liked, and you went to buy some dog food, and it had a warning on the dog food can, such as you find on the cigarette pack, you wouldn't even give it to your dog. They would go out of business. But humans, they see it. It's printed on there. And they keep on puffing and blowing. God says, your body is my temple. And if you defile it, I will destroy you. And not just cigarettes, but cigars. And snuff. And chewing tobacco. They showed a picture of a sports figure, a ball player. They love to put a chaw of tobacco here while they play ball. And they spit it. So disgusting. And now he has cancer. And he's going to die. They can't cut away anymore. And it's happening all the time. And we say, oh, isn't it sad? His time had come. No, it hadn't. Don't blame God for that. And then secondly, there is alcohol. Alcohol is a legal drug. It's a drug just like marijuana is. Only it's legal. And is the most abused drug used in the United States of America. 5 million alcoholics who say they cannot overcome live in our country. That's as large as the population of the state of Massachusetts. Alcoholism is called a disease. Well, I know one thing. You'll never get it if you never take a drink of alcohol. We therefore are responsible for our conduct. Alcohol is a killer. Some people think they take it in order to stimulate themselves. It is not a stimulant. It's a depressant. There is nothing good about it. It is the fourth ranked health problem in the United States. Half of the automobile accidents that are fatal are directly or indirectly linked to alcohol. And it is no respecter of persons. It's an equal opportunity killer. There are institutions in this country for nuns and priests who are alcoholics. And sadly, many of them began with communion. Alcohol produces brain impairment, stomach cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, to say nothing of wrecked homes, misery, deprivation. There are wives who are abused who can never have a new dress. There are children who don't get proper food. They can never move into a decent place. And it's because of alcohol. And it shortens your life by an average of 12 years, while tobacco shortens it by an average of 9 years. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, woe unto them that rise up early to follow strong drink. And in Judges chapter 13 and verse 4, God sent some counsel to one of his servants. He said, now beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not anything that is unclean. And that brings me to eating. Beloved, I want to give you the text, and then we will review some of this on the screen. I'm going to the book of Leviticus. What book did I say? And if you read Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, you will basically get the same information. There are things listed in these places that God does not want his people to imbibe as foodstuff on their tables. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, God tells us what some of these things are. And he has them listed. And amongst them is the rabbit. People are now growing rabbits for the table. And folk go and buy it just like they buy fish. The Bible forbids the eating of hares. A hare is a rabbit. From him, you get this tularemia and typhus. Germs from the rabbit can enter the body even through cuts and abrasions. God says, don't eat it. Now, in order to shorten this message, I want to give you some rules of thumb. God said, don't eat anything with a paw. You don't eat house cats. You don't eat rats. And you shouldn't eat a rabbit or a squirrel or a raccoon or an opossum. They have paws. Don't eat a dog. He's got a paw. This is the rule of thumb. Leviticus 11 and verse 27. And then in these two chapters, God prominently lists swine. Do you know what swine are? Pigs. God says, do not eat them. The Department of Agriculture says that more than 40 diseases, more than 40 diseases are passed along to the human family through the eating of swine's flesh. And amongst them is one that is most aggravating. It's called trichinosis. It comes from a little worm that is microscopic, that is found principally in pigs and rats and bears. And it's called Trichina spiralis, a little worm that bores as it goes into the flesh. And men today, at an average of 18%, have this same worm in their bodies that is found in pigs, and they get it by eating these forbidden things. According to the Department of Agriculture, there is no specific treatment for trichinosis, and the recovery is slow. Most dangerous are salami made with pork, head cheese made with pork blood. Did you hear me? And liver. These are amongst the most dangerous. At the University of Southern California, Tracy Storer wrote a book on general zoology. He said, cooking pork is not enough. These worms live in calcified cysts. And sometimes the normal cooking cannot kill them. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to eat a worm, dead or alive. But when they come into the body, ladies and gentlemen, they leave the sweat, the flesh you have eaten, and they penetrate the stomach and intestines, and they somehow seem to seek the bones and the joints of the bones, and they create a condition that seems like arthritis. And many people all bent over in old age say, I got rheumatism, when what they really have is hogmatism. You know that if you have high blood pressure, first thing the doctor does is take you off pork. Am I right or wrong? It is dangerous to the system. It is not fit to eat. Well, wait a minute, you say. What are these things for? When sin came into the world, God arranged to accommodate a situation called death. There would have been no death had there been no sin. And since creatures die, God has janitors, scavengers, that are supposed to clean up filth, lest disease be born on the very winds and the atmosphere, and the earth become one giant lazar house. Pigs are made to eat filth, and eat filth they do. Buzzards fly up where the pigs can't go. And they eat filth, carrion, rotting flesh. Possums are opossums if you're proper. That's all they feed on. The dead and the dying are their diet. If you want to trap a possum, take some fish heads and put them in sour milk and let them ripen, and then take them out in the forest and leave them, and possums will come from miles away. And God never intended that human beings should eat that. Listen, I want you to help me. There was a little nursery rhyme that I learned as a child. It said, little pig, wait a minute, now how does it go? This little pig went to what? This little pig had, he had what? You see, even a pig wouldn't eat pork. Yeah. And so God said, don't eat him. What is the rule of thumb if you must eat flesh? The animal must have a split hoof. That means a cloven hoof. A horse doesn't have that. You don't eat horse. A Christian doesn't. But a cow does. So beef would be listed as permissible. Goat. Deer. Sheep. And all of their wild kind. They've got to have a split hoof and chew the cud. Now, God said in these two chapters, the swine has a split hoof, but does not chew the cud. Therefore, the Bible says, he is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of his flesh, nor even touch his dead carcass. Now, what about seafood? Deuteronomy 14:10, the rule of thumb. If it's in the water, it must have scales and fins. Is that clear? If you want to eat it, it must have scales and fins if it's in the water. That leaves out exoskeletons, which are the crustaceans, oysters, clams, lobsters, crawfish, shrimp are forbidden. They do not have scales and fins. Now, if you like seafood, you can eat a long time before you clean up all the bass and the trout and the tuna. Would you say amen? God's not trying to take something away from you. He's trying to keep you alive because he wants you to prosper and be in health. Would you say amen out there? And God, who made all this stuff, ought to know. If you agree with that, say amen. Well, what are these things for? They are scavengers. Now, if you got animals dying on land and God's got things to clean up the filth, he even put a shovel on the end of a pig's nose. He goes around and digs up the ground. Well, in the sea, you've got the biggest animals of all. And God has things out there that literally absorb rotting flesh and clean it up, or the oceans would become cesspools. And I want to tell you, he's got them in all sizes. I used to keep an aquarium in my house. And you build into an aquarium what they call the interdependent cycle of life, which means that if you've got fish, they give off carbon dioxide. You've got plants which consume that and give off oxygen. And then you have the crustaceans in the bottom which clean up the excrement. And you've got a cycle where you don't even have to change the water. Sometimes you can have the same water for a year. Don't even have to clean the bowl because that system is established. God's got that system in the ocean. I was out in the South Pacific. Pastor Ortiz and I were out there, and I saw a clam shell this big. I said, man, I'm getting one of those. I'm taking that thing home with me. And they said, oh, we can take it where you can get it. And they took me to where they had them stacked, you know. And I went over, going to pick me out one. That thing weighed 300 pounds. I said, there's no way I can get it home. Now, he's the same as that small clam that folk eat. They handle small fish. He handles big fish. When a big whale or a shark dies out there, and they die, then these things clean up the filth that drops to the ocean floor. That's what they were made for. Would you say amen out there? Now, there should be questions. 1 Timothy 4:1, I wish somebody would send that one in by tomorrow night. And then there's another question that people ask, isn't this a part of the old Moses law? The only thing Jesus nailed to the cross were those things which were a shadow of things to come. There's nothing shadowy about filth. If it was filthy then, it's filthy now. Would you say amen? And the prodigal son about whom Jesus spoke had the most detestable job he could possibly have. He was a Jew who ended up in a pig pen, feeding pigs. No wonder he decided he needed to go home and get out of that filth. Now, here's something amazing before we go to the screen. Filth costs more than normal stuff. I picked this up out of a magazine. I got a lot of stuff. I'm always collecting something. But this is duty-free liquor. Now, here is a bottle of Bacardi rum that costs $13.53. And I think it's a fifth quart, not even a full quarter. Here is Seagram's VO. A fifth quart is $17.27. You know what a quart of milk costs? And the funny thing about a drunk, you see, the devil wants him to share his faith. A drunk will pay all this money and offer you a drink freely. I remember one day I was driving along and I saw some little boys playing ball and I decided to watch them. So another crowd was there. I got out and walked over there and I'm watching the little fellas play and it's very interesting. And a guy was standing next to me and every now and then he'd reach in his pocket and take a little drink. And I saw him and finally he turned to me and said, "Hey buddy, you want a drink?" And I thought that was amazing. Knowing the cost of that stuff, he was going to give me a drink free. Nobody ever turned to me and said, "Hey buddy, would you like a sandwich?" This is the devil's program. Now, I cut this out of the newspaper. This is the literal ad for Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. I want you to listen. Filet of trout, all you can eat, $3.99. Filet of flounder, all you can eat, $4.99. Filet of cod, all you can eat, $4.99. Now, these are the legitimate ones. Now, listen. Steamed crab legs, all you can eat, $12.99. The filth costs three times as much as that which God allows. Peeled shrimp, all you can eat, $13.99. Steamed spiced shrimp, $12.99. Fried oysters, $11.99. Devil crab, Devil, that's a good name. Devil crab, $11.99. Fried scallops. Hadn't the devil got a program? Now I want to turn on the projector and let's review this quickly. Death, fried and boiled, stewed and broiled. Death, God said, "I would above all things, that thou mayest prosper and what? Even as your soul." Just as I want you to grow and prosper spiritually, I want you to grow and prosper physically. And be in health. That's the will of God. And you know, this is another thing about these healing services for money. They heal everybody. Well, now God said to people he healed, "Go and sin no more." If you have a problem and you want it healed, your faith will make you whole. But don't go back to the same old lifestyle. Why should God heal a drunk that doesn't intend to stop drinking? God is not doing it to him. He's doing it to himself. The will of God is that we prosper and be in health. The Bible says, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage." Man has developed a perverted appetite. And he wants what he wants. Even if it kills him, he wants it. I was sitting and watching it. I was sitting on a plane coming from South Africa, and there was a man right across from me, and they were serving drinks. And every time they came by, he bought one. And finally, they said, "We're going to serve dinner." And when they brought dinner, then he wanted coffee. Coffee has a drug in it. It's called caffeine. Christians need to get away from that. The government is now catching up with my church and are teaching that coffee is not good for you. It frays the nerves. And it is especially bad for pregnant women. The government is saying that. Let me give you some wisdom. Don't bother with anything that you get to the place you can't do without. That means you are addicted. The reason you're addicted, there's a drug in it. If there's no drug, you don't get addicted. Now, I love cabbage. And I cooked some. And I had some today. Let me tell you, I loved it. I enjoyed it. But I don't have to have cabbage every day. I don't get a headache if I don't have cabbage. Same with string beans. I love them. Corn on the cob seems like I could never get enough. I never met a potato that I didn't like. But I can let them go for weeks at a time. And I don't get nervous and sick and touchy. Can't talk to your wife. Lose your temper with the children. Anything that does that to you is affecting the nervous system. It is an addictive drug. And caffeine is one of those. Tea has tannin in it. Now, you can go buy herbal teas. Tastes just as good. There are all kinds of good things to use. But God wants His people to be intelligent. And He wants you to be wise. And He wants you to be different than the run of the mill. Would you say amen out there? Not obsessed with eating and drinking. The Bible says they were that way until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ was looking all the way down to our day. And He said, folk are going to be like that. They're going to eat what they please, and they're going to drink what they please, and they won't even know what hit them. Just like the flood came, and they didn't know. But you and I are privileged to know. We can know better. Perversion and dissipation characterize the days of Noah. Now I want you to look at this picture. The lifespan before the flood is indicated by those on the left. And the lifespan after the flood by those on the right. The Bible says there were giants in the world in those days. Amen? Some writer said that it is believed Adam was probably about 18 feet tall. And Eve about 13 feet tall. Well, what happened to us? Sin happened to us. And in addition to the dissipation that sin brings, after the flood, man was given permission to eat flesh. Adam was not a flesh eater. Nothing was supposed to die until sin came. Don't tell me you can't be strong. An elephant is the biggest and strongest animal on earth, and he is a vegetarian. It was not God's plan. But because the earth had been destroyed and all vegetation was destroyed, man could not grow a crop in time to keep his family alive. And for the first time, permission was given to eat clean animals. And immediately the lifespan was cut. We finally got to David's time. He said, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's 70 years. Adam lived 930 years. Who was the oldest man that ever lived? I knew you'd say that, and I tricked you a little. That's not right. Enoch is the oldest man that ever lived. That was Methuselah's daddy. He's still living because he never died. So if anybody tells you Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, no, say Methuselah was the oldest man that ever died. But his daddy is still living. They lived those long lives. But when the flood came, man was permitted to eat flesh, clean animals. And correspondingly, the lifespan was cut. And during the Dark Ages, the average lifespan was 37 years. You take God's word away from the people, and everything goes wrong. Science goes downhill. Medicine goes down. Why? The doctors didn't even wash their hands when they performed operations. They tell me Queen Elizabeth, I, only bathed about 3 times a year. Take away the Bible, and darkness comes in. All kinds of darkness. And the lifespan dropped all the way to an average of 37 years. But after the Reformation, we began to get older and older. And now it's up to about 70 again. That ought to speak to intelligent people. And then there is this dissipation with cigarettes. And what happens with that? And after that comes drugs. They're all drugs. Nicotine and marijuana and coke and all that's crack. It's all drugs. And what are we doing? There's a cigarette pack. There's a cute little story behind that. There's a saintly lady who wanted a picture of a cigarette pack with that warning on it. And she doesn't know a thing about smoking. Why would she get it? She didn't want to buy it. Well, she didn't have to go far before she found one. Because people are spending billions of dollars for it. And the average smoker can use 3 and 4 packs a day. And now they cost $2 and $2.50 a pack. You're burning up a suit of clothes. You're burning up a camera. You're burning up a movie camera. Pretty soon you'll burn up an automobile or a house. And all the while you're destroying your own health. You see it, don't you, folks? God says your body is my temple. And with the wildest stretch of your imagination, you can't imagine Jesus with a cigar standing back on the corner saying, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And clergymen stand out in front of their churches doing it, setting the wrong example to their people. There's that answer. Surgeon General's warning. Smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. They've got several types of warnings, but they put them on every pack. And people go in and buy them by the carton and suck away that poison and shorten their lives every time they do. After a smoker stops, these things go down immediately. Irritation, inflammation, congestion, mucus, shortness of breath, cough, all of it begins to subside. Even, now this is a marvel, you know, the American Cancer Society says this, and the Red Cross says this. Whether you're a Christian or not, if you've been smoking and you stop, immediately your body begins to recover and rebuild itself. So that when it happens, there is a difference. A smoker is 2.5 times more apt to have a heart attack than a non-smoker. 2.5 times more. That's significant. And then when a person stops smoking, immediately the danger of lung cancer and the death rate drops by the amount of years since you last smoked. Now I started and I smoked a little. I was just beginning to get into the habit when the truth came to me. Have you ever seen that ad, I'd rather fight than switch? Well, I quit about 52 years ago, and I'd rather fight than switch. And when you quit, all of those things begin to go down, those dangers of lung cancer and death, until finally you're right along with a non-smoker. The grace of God gives us recovery in our systems. Then there's drinking wine and alcohol. Oh, we try to make it look so cute, you know. We serve it up in stemware. And when you hold it, you're supposed to curl your little finger and look cool. And this is a part of the problem. They come on television looking cute. And their young, silly girls and boys look at it and think they can look like that if they just start drinking. The alcohol industry is the only industry you can think of that doesn't show the real product of its industry like the automobile industry. Ford wants you to see the best-looking Ford you can possibly see. Cadillac wants you to see the best looking Cadillac. Well, the liquor industry doesn't want you to see their finished product. They go and get a model. And they want you to look at some beautiful lady or handsome man. And they want you to think you look like that. What they ought to do is go down where the poor... And I've been down there. I've taken a long lens camera and I've photographed them. And I put them on the screen. That's what you look like. Walking around looking like a fool and talking like a fool. I stood one day in the doorway and I saw a drunk coming. It was pouring out rain. He couldn't even rush. He's just coming along. And he came to a puddle of water. This is true. He came to a puddle of water. And when he started across, he lost his shoe. And I saw him back up. And he tried to pick that shoe up. And he'd lose his balance. And he'd start to fall like that. And he couldn't pick up his shoe. Finally, he just decided, I got to get this shoe. He sat right down in the middle of that mud hole and put his shoe on. Now, you know I don't want anything that makes me act like that. That's what they ought to show. That's the finished product. They ought to go to some of these poor homes where the wife never loses the frown on her face. Never smiles. Where the children have the same expression. And they are afraid half the time. They ought to photograph that and put that in the magazine. That's what it does. Takes bread out of the children's mouths. That's what they ought to show. But instead, they make it appear like something wonderful. And then drugs, to say nothing of that. It destroys the mind and the potential. And it turns people into the streets as immoral nitwits. They don't even want to work. That's why they rob and steal and snatch. In my town, a woman was coming home from work and she had a bag of groceries in this arm and a baby in this arm and another child holding her skirt. And suddenly, in her own neighborhood, a man nervously ran in front and put a gun on her and asked for money. She said, "Mister, I'm so sorry. I don't have any money. Don't hurt my children. I don't have any money. I just spent it on the groceries. If you're hungry, you can have this." And that man shot that woman dead within a half block of her house. She dropped down with the groceries spilling over her and her baby cushioned by her own body and the other child screaming on the sidewalk. Drugs do that to the human mind. Makes them more beast than human. Would you say amen out there? God does not want that. And a Christian does not do that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says if you defile that temple, God will destroy it. That's what they think they want you to think you look like. Virginia Slims, sponsor of women's tennis. They want you to think you look like that, but you don't. Your teeth are yellow. Your breath is foul. Your lungs are contaminated. Your fingers are stained. That's what really happens. And the people who are hooked on it won't out. You don't ever see anybody that just loves it. They won't out. Well, there is power available if you won't out. There is a God that can change your appetite. But you got to will it. And you got to mean business with Him. What are the real results? We've already told you. It's not looking like that. It's looking the other way. And then there are the forbidden foods. I got to rush along now. So let's see if we can move these, please. Let's go as fast as we can. God forbids the eating of pork. Now, there are a lot of things you shouldn't eat, but I'm mentioning this because it's so common. And I've noticed that in certain communities of Phoenix where they think certain kinds of people live, ethnic groups live, then they have more and more and more of this. And what does it do? It helps to ruin the systems and the minds of the very people who imbibe it. Pigs. They were made to eat filth. That's what they are. Garbage eaters. They are here as scavengers. Helping God with a sanitation problem. They were not created to be eaten. Please ask me about that tomorrow night. And we'll answer it. That's Friday night. We'll answer it for you. There they are. They are born to die in a slaughterhouse. and end up on the tables, especially the tables of those who claim to know Jesus. Behold, the Lord will come. He will what? I'm going to give you the reference, but I want you to read it as I read it. Behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. God compares eating swine's flesh with eating a mouse, and God calls it abomination. And abomination is that which is so sickeningly awful and nauseating that you just can't stand it. God says adultery is an abomination. And now he says eating swine's flesh is an abomination, just like eating a mouse. That's the word of the Lord. And it says, they shall be consumed together, saith the Lord, Isaiah 66, 15 through 17. Beloved, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then the other text, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God does what? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something basic, and you must never forget it. God never takes away anything that's good for you. He's not asking you to give up anything that's good for you. Only that which will make you sick. Only that which will destroy you morally, mentally, and physically. Only that. All the other things, help yourself. He's given delicious things, a variety of delicious things. My, in this area, you get fruits that by the time they reach us on the train, they don't taste the same. They're delicious out here in the West. God has provided all of this. All you give up is that which will defile your body temple, make you sick, and make you suffer, and make you die, both the first and second death. That's all God asks us to give up. You are his temple. Let no man deceive himself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't try to make an excuse. Don't try to cover it. Let's change the slide, please. Healthy saints are God's objective. I would, above all things, that you prosper and be in health. And when you are in health, it radiates, doesn't it? Now, a lot of us, because humanity has been so weak, we have aches and pains. If you have that, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God wants us to do the best we can under the circumstances of sin until the day we are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. When that happens, ladies and gentlemen, we'll never know sickness again. God wants us to be healthy. I love a God like that. Don't you? He said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So Christ, our Savior, wants only what is best for us. Only what is good for us. He wants to make life down here as tolerable as possible. For as long as possible. Until that day when he rescues us from this world of sin. I want to ask you, is that clear? And there should be questions, and I'd like to have them for Friday night as our meeting literally comes to a close. Death, fried and boiled, stewed and broiled. Christians are to avoid those things which defile the body temple. Are you glad for the truths God sends? Do you understand that God sends them in love? He loves us. That's why he wants us to get along the best we possibly can. Now, in overcoming some of these habits, particularly these addictive habits, we've got to have special help. Well, I want to tell you, special help is available. I want to tell you, just as the Lord has helped me, He'll help you. It's no secret what God can do. I introduced Cliff Harris to you. This man was bound by the chains of drug addiction for over 20 years. He was in prison when he found Jesus. And when he started to read God's Word. And when he was going out, the guards told him, "You'll be back, we'll see you." He said, "We'll see." He's not a magician. He's not any different than the rest of us. But he made up his mind. He willed to do God's will. He learned how to pray. And he will tell you tonight, there is power available. No excuses. You don't have to wean off. Quit. So what if you struggle through a few days? So what if you have to go cold turkey? For Jesus' sake, and for eternal life, and for the salvation of your own body and reputation, it's worth it. You got yourself in it, struggle to get out with prayer. And Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's the same with every kind of sin. And I want to tell you, in these last days, I want victory over every sin. Don't you? If you do, stand with me for prayer and let us dismiss ourselves. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed, and in your own heart, talk to God and tell Him, tell God how you want complete victory. You know what? Some people seem surprised that Christians are supposed to have a different bill of fare, a different lifestyle, different everything. Well, why would they be surprised? What's the point in being a Christian if you're going to be just like everybody else? God's people are special. I expected you to say amen to that. Amen. God's people are special, I said. Amen. Let us pray now. Oh, my Father, we've learned so many things, and this is possibly the last night of learning brand new things. So many others we hold in common with church people everywhere. But these things are not taught everywhere. And yet it's your will. And Lord, we pray that we might not be confused by the enemy. We're willing to answer questions about Peter and the sheep. Every creature is good and nothing to be refused. Oh, my Father, I'm so glad that the Word of God is not a tangle of confusion. It is clear. And as you make it clear to us, we humbly pray that you'd give us willing hearts. We can't overcome, but if we're willing, you will give us power to overcome. Now I'm looking out here, Lord, at all these nice people. They love you, they respect you, and everybody here wants to be an overcomer. That's why we're standing. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would come right now with your Holy Spirit and give us the power and the grace. Start us on the straight and narrow way, and then hold on to us, Lord. Don't let Satan take us away from you, for the end is coming soon, and we want to be ready when Jesus comes. So we pray that you'd help us to glorify you in our bodies. And we thank you. There is someone who cares. Take only what is clean. There is someone who cares from filth and poison's wean. There is someone who cares. His blessed way is now seen. That someone who cares is Scriptures, is Jesus. There is someone who cares from His holy book, learn. There is someone who cares. Your health is His concern. There is someone who cares. Defilers will surely burn. For that someone who cares is Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-4450. 7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.